Well, we really appreciate being here with you all this morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here. Pray that the Lord will bless His word. I appreciate your all's prayers this morning. This message I've had on my heart for a little while now, and pray that the Lord will help me to bring it across to His glory and for your benefit and our benefit. I'd like to look in Daniel chapter 2. We have a situation here where King Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he wanted so bad to know what the dream meant. But then he couldn't remember what the dream was. And so he called in all of his, astrologers and foretellers or dream interpreters. And he brought them all in and said, "Okay, I want you all to interpret my dream for me." And they said, "Absolutely, sure. Just tell us what the dream is and we'll interpret it for you." He said, "Well, I don't remember the dream. So I need you to tell me the dream, and then I need you to tell me what it means." And so this is what they said. The Chaldeans, in verse 10, it says, "The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, 'There is not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such things at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean.'" Essentially, they're saying they were at a loss. How can we interpret the dream when we don't know what the dream is? And he got upset. He said, "Well, surely I know that you all have been lying to me all these years and telling me what my dreams are and this and that, because surely if you had any skill, you'd be able to do this too." And they said, "No man or no king has ever asked such a thing of any astrologer or magician. This is a rare case." And so the king was so upset that he decided, "You know what, I'm done with you guys." And so he's going to make an order to have them all killed. And so the chief captain, the king's chief captain, was going about to execute this order of the king. And then in verse 15 it says, "He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain," this is Daniel speaking, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. I want to stop there for just a second. Obviously, Daniel's in a situation where, he didn't have a whole lot to lose, right? He's part of that group. And so he's one of the ones that's going to get executed. But I love the fact that Daniel just goes in and says, "You know, give me time. And I'll give you the interpretation." And I think about that and I say, you know what, Daniel, like I said, he didn't have much choice. But Daniel's not a liar. He had confidence in God. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision, that Daniel blessed the God of heaven. So the Lord gave heed to Daniel's prayer and to his fellows' prayers, and he gave them the answer to this puzzle, so to speak, of the king's dream and the interpretation. And then we go to verse 27. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologians, the magicians, the soothsayers, show the king?" He's saying that what you've asked is really, in all reality, an impossibility. You've asked of us to do something that we aren't capable of doing. They can't do it, and really, Daniel couldn't do it either. But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets and maketh known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. The dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these. You know, I was thinking about this scenario and this situation, and what really just keeps ringing in my ears and keeps sticking out to me is, but there is a God in heaven. Daniel and his friends and his fellow laborers were in impossible. Impossible odds. How can we possibly do what the king is asking us to do? How can we possibly come through in this situation? It's not in us to answer this question. It's not in us to be able to interpret this dream or to even be able to tell you what the dream was. It wasn't in them. But there is a God in heaven who is able to do it. And I thank God that they had faith to go into the God of heaven and to pray unto Him and get the answers that they needed. Let's look at another verse in Acts. Chapter 3. So this is Peter and John. They're headed to the temple. I believe it was at the third hour, perhaps the hour of prayer. And verse 11. And as the lame man, which was healed... Well, I better give some more information. They came up to the temple and there was a man there. He was lame in his feet, I believe, and had been that way for many years, if not his entire life. And he asked money of them. And they looked upon him and they said, "Look at us. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And the man was healed. He rose up and jumped and leaped, and he was just having a good time, thanking God and praising God. And this is what happened. And as the lame man, which was healed, held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." The apostles said, "Look at us. Why do you look so earnestly at us? Why do you wonder within yourselves, as you know, how holy or how godly these men must be that they could make this man to walk who was lame?" that they can bring about this healing and this deliverance. You know, I was thinking about the gifts of the Spirit. And one of the gifts that stood out to me was the gift of healing. Did the apostles have the gift of healing? I don't know. But what stood out to me about that particular gift is that there is no question about it. That if a person has that gift of healing, is the power within themselves to heal? Are they doing anything, really, to make a person well? I mean, did Peter and John do anything, really? They had faith in God. They had faith in God. Enough so that they were able to speak it. And say, you know what? Rise up and walk. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. Again, powerful faith to be able to say that. And to be confident that God is going to do it. But the gift in itself, the gift of healing, what is that? But faith in God. Right? It's God's power. It's God's ability. It's God doing it. And then I started thinking about that. And if you really go through the list of the gifts, they're all the same too. You say a person that has a gift of preaching, is it their ability? Is it that they're so much better at verbalizing things, or that they can compile information better, or that they somehow got something within them that's going to make this all work perfect? No. It's God. It's the Spirit of God. They're gifts of the Spirit that operate under the anointing of God. The gifts of healing, it's kind of, without question, you see it plainly. But sometimes I think we can take the other gifts and think that maybe we have a good portion to add to it. But really, it's got to be by faith too. We've got to have faith in God. That He's going to operate. And that He's going to function. And that we become vessels in His use to do with as He pleases. And He will direct us and guide us in what we need to do to overcome or to fulfill the operation that He's asking of us to fulfill. So we know the apostles were filled with the Spirit of God. Said the Spirit of God came down upon them and filled them. And they... Peter preached a sermon after that, and 3,000 people were saved. Where not long before that, Peter denied the Lord. The power of the Spirit of God was upon them. Peter and John, they testified to it. Why do you marvel at us? It wasn't by our abilities that this man is whole in front of you, but it's by faith. Through faith. In Jesus Christ. So let's look at another verse. James 5 and 15. It says, "And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if ye have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him." You know, I think about, especially praying for the sick, or praying for the lost. You know, how often do we pray for our unsaved loved ones, both soul and body? Many times they're afflicted, have grievous sicknesses upon them. How many of us have sicknesses and disease that we desire for the Lord to heal and to deliver us from? And what power do we have within ourselves to do anything other than to pray and ask God to help our loved ones, to open their eyes, help them to see their need for you? Have mercy upon them, Lord. Show them that this is a good way. Have mercy upon them, God. Relieve them of their pain and suffering. Raise them up from this sickness. But it says the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. We want our prayers to be effectual. We want them to be powerful. We want them to accomplish something. We want to be able to speak like Peter and John with confidence and knowing that there's a God in heaven. A powerful God. Where nothing is impossible unto Him. And this is the God that we serve. This is the God that we live for. A prayer of faith in this God of heaven. That He will save the sick. First Peter 4. Actually, no, let's look at Ephesians 6 and 18 first. The prayer of faith. Praying always, verse 18, 6 and 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. All prayer and supplication in the Spirit. We can't do anything, really. But we can pray. But you know, we can pray and not pray in the Spirit. We have to be connected. We got to be in tune with God. We got to be in the Spirit in our prayer. The Scripture says that the Spirit will give intercession to us. He'll help us to pray. Because we don't always know what we need to say. Or how to go about it. How do I pray for this? What do I say? Is there any special combination of words that will just make God move? Is there a special sweet way to speak to God that He's going to melt before us and give us everything that we ask? It's by His Spirit. Because the Spirit knows the will of God and prays according to His will. Let's look at 1 Peter 4. We're going to look at verses 10 and 11. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So we know that if we want to pray for the sick, or we want to pray for our loved ones who are still bound in sin and needing of deliverance and salvation, we pray in the Spirit. So what do we do when we need to speak? What do we do when we need to testify? Or to proclaim the name of the Lord. Or to minister or counsel in a situation with that loved one. Where the Lord gives a door of opportunity. Maybe they call us and ask for prayer. Or maybe they have a question about our faith. And how we believe in God. An opportunity to speak. May the Lord help us to know that it's not, you know, we would say, well, what can I say? What will I say? You know, how can I have the perfect words that's going to be exactly what they need to hear, that will cause them to see their need of the Lord and just fall on their faces before God, thinking that we can come up with some magical formula. But he says, speak as of the oracles of God, or by the Spirit of God. If you minister, do it as of the ability which God gives. If you testify, do it as unto the Lord through the Spirit of God. Ephesians 4 and 29. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. I think about this scripture, and the reason why I bring it up is because sometimes this can be or seem like an impossibility to have everything you say be into edification or to be profitable to the hearers. And I think about situations in our lives. We were talking about suffering this morning in the Sunday school, and or not suffering, but self-sacrifice. I don't know about you, but sometimes I think of self-sacrifice in a sense that it's difficult, where the Lord puts His finger on something and says, this is what I want you to sacrifice. And in that moment, you can think, how, Lord? How can I do that? How can I deny myself in this? How can I give that unto You? As a, it becomes, in a sense, like Daniel's situation. This is impossible. You know, when a person first gets saved and they think about all the things that need to be done different in their lives and how much they need to change and how wrong so much of the things that they do are, it can be an overwhelming experience to think of how much about them needs to be changed. And it can feel like an impossibility of trying to overcome all these obstacles that are separating them from the Lord and their relationship with Him. Impossible. But God. There's a God in heaven. That's the only answer to those impossible circumstances. It's the only answer when it comes to wanting to pray for healing or needing to speak for the edification of someone else. It's only by the grace of God. It's only by the power of God. It's only by the Spirit of God that we're going to be able to operate in these situations effectively. Galatians 5 and 25 says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. I was thinking about one of the messages in Monarch. It was a really good message, and I hope to be able to hear it again soon. But it was about walking in the Spirit. You know, a lot of times we can just assume that because we're saved and because we're sanctified, that we're in the Spirit. And everything we do and everything we think is in the Spirit. But he brought out to us that that's not always the case. That's not necessarily the case. He said, you can be sanctified. You can be saved. And yet still need to be walking in the Spirit. The Lord wants us to operate in whatever we do in the Spirit of God. I don't know if you all face impossible situations in your own lives. You know, maybe you're sick and you have something that needs to be touched in your own body. Again, maybe you have a loved one that you care deeply for and they're lost in sin and destruction. I think of Marvin Miles and how long we've been praying for him. And may the Lord bless him. So many that are sick and need a special touch from God. Impossible situations that we face, nothing really within our power to do anything. But you know what? We serve a God in heaven. A powerful God. A mighty God. Where the Scripture says that with God all things are possible. Yes, with men these are impossible. But with God nothing shall be impossible. Do we believe that? Do we really hold to it in faith? Do we have a firm confidence? Peter and John, I don't know how they did it. To be honest with you. By the Spirit of God only. That they were able to say, you know what? Stand up and walk. We don't have any money, but go ahead and walk. And you can start providing your own money. Start providing your own food. You can work. Thank the Lord. But they had a confidence in the God of heaven, the God that they served, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ and the power of the Spirit of God. They were able to tell that man, stand up. But there's a God in heaven, a mighty God, a powerful God, who can do these impossible things in our lives. Recently, the Lord spoke to me and said, have faith in God, Marvin. Have faith in God. Don't put everything on yourself. Don't be burdened down with all these things. Have faith in God. You want to see people healed? Pray and have faith in God. You want to operate in the Spirit? Have faith in God. Believe in Him. Allow Him to work. Stop thinking that it's all about you. It isn't anything about you. It's about faith in God. And operating under the unction of the Spirit of God. And so when the Lord calls you to something, and He's asking you to... Maybe He's calling you to a ministry of some type, or maybe He's asking you to take part in a certain function or an outreach, or I don't know what. Maybe the Lord's got His finger on something and says, you know what, this needs to go. And you don't know how in the world you can possibly do that. It seems like an impossibility to you. But I'm here to tell you that there's a God in heaven who's not just asking you to do these things and expecting you to just run on off and do them. He wants you to have faith in Him, to trust in Him and allow Him to work these things out through your life. He wants you to surrender and have faith and walk in the Spirit. Let's look at Mark chapter 10. Verse 23. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto His disciples. Let me preface this real quick. This is the rich young ruler that came to Jesus and asked, what can I do to be saved? And Jesus told him, do the commandments. He says, well, I've done all that. What lack I yet? Jesus says, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross, and follow me. And it said that he went away sorrowful. And in this particular sense, he said grieved. But you know, that man looked at that and thought, that's impossible. How can I do that? And even the disciples were shocked. And this is what they said. For he had great possession, and Jesus looked round about and saith unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? This is an impossible situation. How can anybody be saved if this is true? And Jesus, looking upon them, said, With men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So if the Lord is calling you to something, or the Lord is putting it upon your heart to pray for somebody or to speak to somebody, have faith in God. Allow Him to speak through you. Allow Him to pray with you. Allow Him to operate in your heart and in your life. And allow Him to use you as a vessel that will edify your church body here, your family members, your friends, or that stranger that you meet in Walmart. The Lord will give you a word to speak, a word of encouragement, a word that would draw them into the Savior that you know and love. Have faith in God. I appreciate your time and attention today.